Welcome to staff, welcome to councillors, and a special welcome to Mrs. Gardner to the first Finance and Corp of the year. We have no apologies, we have no leave of absence, confirmation of the agenda. There's four reports. I have not been advised of anything else to be raised. Haven't been advised of any conflicts of interest. There's no public forum. We'll move on to the minutes. There are a separate attachment for the 29th of November. They be received and confirmed as a true and accurate record. Could someone move in that direction, please? Thank you, Councillor Noon. Seconded by Councillor Robertson. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Actions. I don't think there's any actions at this stage. We'll move straight on to the reports. The first one is the director's report. Basically, it outlines how progress is being made in terms of the rate collection and also accounts for payment. Mr. Donnelly, is there anything to report there?
No, I'll take that as read. The only thing in the rates collection is still increasing the number that are paying via direct debit, but as a percentage, it's only up marginally about 1%, but we'll keep working on that. The more we can get doing that, the less we'll see that we're going to have to impose penalties on.
So I guess the percentages are fairly similar to previous years. Is there any comment on this paper? Everyone happy?
Question, Mr. Chairman. The direct debits, are they're able to be paid in instalments?
Yep, you can set it up as you can have it set to pay three times a year.
So, not all the direct debits are instalments. No, but some choose to. Right, the option. Thank you.
Okay, we have a recommendation on page four. It's pretty straightforward. I'll move that recommendation. Have a seconder, please. Councillor Neal. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. On to the next report, the financial report for the period up to the end of December, 6 months. Once again, well, there's a lot of things in that report, unders and overs again, but I think things seem to be tracking okay. There's timing issues which explain some of the variances. Mr. Donnelly, any further comment?
The variance in the surplus in the profit and loss statement, or revenue and expenses on the first page, is a bit under $500,000, but as we have done previously, that's only the operating expense cost, so it excludes the capital cost, so it's actually the final table that gives the full activity spend. So that there actually has $1.4 million underspent. As Councillor Brown indicated, there is unders and overs within that. And this is the November update, so it's only 1 month on from the four-month report that we discussed pre-Christmas. So these trends and the variances are basically in line with that, with some of them are just slightly larger given an extra month.
Yes, sorry, I said it was up to the end of December. It is end of November. Yep. There's also the activity expenditure statement in there as well for all the activities we undertake. Any comment? Councillor Woodhead.
Oh, just to note, and it's not a criticism at all, but the July flood cost the Tyree scheme an extra $900,000.
Mm-hmm.
Our response, the pumps and all the work, and I imagine that's fixing the leak at Mill Creek 2 and all that sort of stuff, so that's significant expenditure for a scheme that was already in deficit. I think we'll need to have a discussion on what the funding for that looks like, that scheme. That's the flood scheme, not the drainage. And then with respect to long-term plan, but it's a massive chunk of money. It was a big flood, but it cost.
If I could just ask a couple of questions on that. The immediately after the flood, on the Tyree, there tends to be farmers put some pressure, some farmers put some pressure on us to get rid of the water as fast as we can.
Yes.
So we went and got all our little pumps, and we stuck it in alongside our pumps, and that'll cost money. It seems to me that there is, and I'm not sure whether they actually contributed significantly to the drain time, the reducing the time that master was underwater. I'm not sure about that. But in any event, it seems to me that there is a specific question which the users and council need to look at, which is trying to balance up the extra cost that we would put in against the cost of pasture damage. Because it seems to me that the costs, well, I'm not saying they got out of control, but they certainly went ka-chunka at that point. And so farmers and council need to get a really good understanding of each other's positions so that there's a kind of an optimum arrangement. I mean, it might come out that farmers say, well, it actually didn't do that much, so don't ever spend that money again, or whatever the result might be. But that seems to be a pinch point.
Yeah, and that was the basis behind the comment, just acknowledging that. I didn't want to flush it out too much. But I mean, if you're at the bottom end of the bath, you want the water gone as quickly as possible. Some places it was still rising 4 or 5 days after it stopped raining. So it depends on the time of year, the scale of event, a whole range of things, but I just think the community needs to understand that we responded, but those pumps were costing hundreds and hundreds of dollars an hour.
Yep.
And they pay.
As you say, the timing in the year is quite important, isn't it?
Yeah,
it wasn't a great time.
We actually, with the timing, we got away with it, and the sooner the water was gone, the better, because we actually got a lactation and we were able to perform for the season. But I just want to point out there's a huge chunk of money there.
Yep. Councillor Scott.
My initial reaction is, hey, you know, as a council, can't we support these, you know, it's a spike in expenditure, but actually, when you stand beside the Tairu Bridge when the flood was going through and you look at it, you go, maybe it's not sustainable to be farming under this type of a situation. And at the end of the day, you could argue that price probably in subsequent years could go up. And so, you know, if we get involved in a subsidy situation, we're going to possibly distort the reality of what's actually going on. It might become, over time, more and more difficult to farm in some of these places.
Does anyone suggest we're going to get involved in the subsidy situation?
No, I'm just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
Put it there. Grand tentacles?
No. My second point is the lease scheme. Am I allowed to talk about the lease scheme?
Yep.
It just says the lease scheme is overexpended by $911,000 against a budget of $912,000. I know as a project manager, when you've got a budget here, you know, $912,000, get it up to here with your expenditure, because, or it's easy to get into that scenario because nobody's going to give you a hard time. Is it a coincidence? It's only $1,000 less than the budget.
The lease scheme.
Well, I don't know. That's just what it says here. Over expended by 911 against a budget of 912. Yeah. Is that a coincidence?
No, it's over. It is a coincidence. Yeah, the actual spend there on page 10 is $1.823 million.
Yeah.
So the budget's $912. It just happened. It basically, the spend was almost double the budget at this point. Because remember, the big spend, Dr. Palmer's not here. That includes the unbudgeted cost for the asbestos cleanup.
Yeah, no, I realise that. But you've got a budget of 912 and you've overexpended by 911. You've come in just under. And my question is...
We've come in 911,000 over budget.
Double? What is
over by 900.
Oh, is it?
And it was partially a timing issue.
Oh, yeah. That's what it says.
Yeah. That's what it says. Yeah. It's actually double.
Mm.
Okay.
Because of the... primarily because of the asbestos cleanup.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Through the chair, there is potentially some claim back. Remember, there is a process.
We're having discussions with the university. As good luck. Where we're at the moment.
Okay, we must move on. Any other queries, questions, read this paper? If not, someone move this report be received. Sounds like Councillor Noon, seconded by Councillor Hope. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. We're moving on to the passenger transport update. We've got Mr. Colling with us. It gives the patronage figures for both Dunedin and Queenstown, which has been media coverage of it, which is quite favourable. Mr. Colling, anything to single out there in this report?
If I can, in relation to Dunedin, Dunedin is showing the continuing lift in patronage that we've seen over the last 5 months, which is particularly pleasing. We had a meeting with the DCC and other stakeholders in relation to providing public transport support for the Easter weekend, and that is progressing reasonably favourably as well. Looking at this point at extending the public service hours of operation, and a cost share arrangement with DCC and the events management team for a dedicated service from the central city to the stadium itself, as in line with what most other centres do. Wi-Fi in real time, we have had a slight technical issue with regards to the devices going on board bus, and that's in relation to them being able to service the real-time system for Dunedin and the Waka Tipu, taking out some of the operator intervention to keep that system going. We've made the judgment call immediately before Christmas that we would wait for a second modem to be provided for those units installed at the supplier and have those installed in buses. The rollout in Dunedin has commenced, and we've got 25% of the buses currently loaded with the Wi-Fi, with the additional expected to be rolled out over the next 6 to 8 months. In relation to Waka Tipu, an extremely pleasing result for December. I can confirm to Council that that trend appears to be continuing through January, certainly through the first half. However, it is still early days in relation to the operation of that system. Furthermore, with Waka Tipu, we're expecting the commencement of school next week to raise some issues as people become familiar with some of the services being used for school services. We have, however, increased the capacity on the core route between Burnhill and Remarkables Park, where the new high school is, by the redistribution of fleet from Dunedin, taking the big tag echoes out, putting them into Queenstown, which gives us a 70% increase in capacity. That also gets some of the larger vehicles that have been criticised for in Dunedin off the streets with the replacement with more standard vehicles. Finally, just highlight to Council that the ongoing issue of driver availability continues to be a concern both in Dunedin but more so in the Waka Tipu. Meeting with the Dunedin operators yesterday, it's interesting, the incumbent operator that used to hold the services, GoBus, said they're also experiencing the same difficulties with driver recruitment, and hence why we're taking a cautious approach with any commitment to the Easter services, because there is always a consequential impact on the ability to provide normal services. That said, I'm comfortable that both operators are doing everything within their power to recruit. It's pleasing to see that Ritchie's have now employed a regional manager who will look after both networks and does come with a significant amount of experience in operating services such as this. One of Sean's team was up talking to the Airport Corporation in relation to lifting our profile in the Waka Tipu, in particular the go-card use. She also did some random checks on some of the services. She had to look twice at the lady providing the service at the downtown kiosk because the attitudinal change of that individual from go live date was just astronomical. All of a sudden, we had an individual that was customer focused rather than just doing a job. So we are starting to see the lift. Operating in Queenstown with the issues they have in the main corridor with congestion, will continue to have negative feedback from the community about late services. We're stuck in the same traffic as everyone else. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, hey, thank you, Derek, for the work that's going on the team and so forth, Queenstown, Dunedin, and I look forward to the bus hub. I made a mistake of going to this seeing in the newspaper a meeting at the library, a meeting on pedestrian meeting, on pedestrian strategy for the region. And I sat there in the audience, and then they realised that I was a councillor on the RIC, and they dragged me up to this panel. And then I invited me to speak for six minutes on public transport with the other speakers. And then it wasn't too bad actually, but maybe I've been around here. I'm probably better off speaking off the cuff than being organised. But it was interesting. The crowd itself, you know, gave a mix of feedback. The first question they put to me, what's the name of the generational group?
Generation Zero.
Yeah, Generation Zero. They said, and the DCC, when is there going to be an ORC-DCC collaboration governance group for the buses? And the group, there was 60 people there, and they seemed to be thinking that was a good idea. So, you know, there's always a little bit I just put that out there, thinking about, we may have forgotten about it, but there's a sector that haven't. And then they're saying, well, if you had a group like that, they could, look, there's been a lot of good work and a lot of the big chunky things have been done, but there's still, the devil is still in the detail. You know, they're saying, well, they're complaining they have to walk uphill from the hub to George Street. You know, what is the plan? You know, is there some design thing? And, okay, but I said to them, hey, it's only a block, what's the problem? And the response was that I maybe was more mobile than them. They pointed out that I said to them, well, you know, it's not just a bus service, it's a total mobility as well, you know, as a package just generally. And they said there were gaps. Some people would apply for the total mobility, but they wouldn't get it, or whatever, in terms of eligibility thing. They were keen to get the bus rail time. So there were these things sort of going on. And I just say to this committee, is the ORC-DCC collaboration a good idea? Or when does that be considered, even if it's not considered now?
Mr. Collins, do you want to respond to that?
Either myself, Mr. Donnelly, I'm quite happy to respond. There is a governance group called Connected Dunedin. It has representatives from the chief executive of the ORC, DCC, and NZTA are represented on that panel as well. It is a movement in the direction of having a coordinated approach into the delivery of the service model, and I'm pretty sure we took that back to council some way through last year, advising of that group being in place.
Yeah. And look, these people expect the governance arm to understand what's sort of going on. Sean points out there's a meeting in Waikari tonight, and you know, and there's issues. So, you know, we don't just come along here to eat our lunch. If we get asked to speak for 6 minutes on public transport, we need to be part of the process.
So, if I may, through the chair, the meeting that Councillor Scott attended, we weren't invited to, otherwise we would have been quite happy to attend. The meeting that you're referring to tonight is a meeting that's been organised by the community, and we were asked to come along. It wasn't until we became aware that the meeting from the individuals that we were expecting to meet had been broadcast much wider that we said to the comms team, hey, could you let our councillors know they may wish to be participants in this particular event?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
apologies, I can't go to that.
Yeah, one of the pleasing statements you did make is that the independent assessors are turning people down for total mobility where they're not meeting the criteria, because it's not an open checkbook. So I'm happy to see the system as well.
Thank you for that. Mr. Donnelly, do you have anything to add to that?
No,
all good. Councillor Deegan?
Yeah, I just wanted to say through you to Councillor Scott, I feel his pain. That happened to me 2 years ago. And the moral of the story is if you see Dr. Lemmy Hood coming, run for the hills.
Yeah,
thank you, mate. Good on you, that sounded worthwhile, but I had exactly the same experience. I was chatting to Gerard at the Marae yesterday about these issues, and I offered the view to him that for all the years I've been on this council, this right now I'm feeling closer than ever before to being proud of the bus services we're offering. The look of them, the regularity of them, and I check that so I haven't delivered a terminus of a route, and I always look at my watch to see when it arrives and departs, and it's spot on. The number of people on them, and from our point of view, the flexibility of approach that we now show in the delivery of services, which is not something we could ever have boasted of 10 years ago. No, that would be very true 10 years ago. We are modernising, we are adapting to community needs, we are listening to the community, we're, thanks to Brian, talking to them. It's going really well, and I think this council organisation, thanks to the work of Gerard and to the stakeholder engagement team and all the other people involved in PT, have really got their act together, and the stats are starting to show it. And having spent a lot of time in Queenstown in the last 2 months observing PT behaviour there too, seeing those buses regularly half full or more, I didn't predict that. I didn't see that coming. In fact, I can remember saying to Steve and Andrew, what's your plan B? Because this one ain't going to work necessarily. Well, I'm delighted to say I think I got that really badly wrong. So it's, well, that's all I want to say, Mr. Chairman. It's looking really good, and long may it continue to be so.
Mm. Well, thank you for that. I'm sure we all agree with that. It's good to see Councillor Woodhead.
Oh, I was going to say similar things. And Plan A in Queenstown is going from 500,000 passengers to 1 million per annum, and we're on target in the first couple of months. Now, might be just that Christmas blip, but it's looking good. $2 fare, huge amount of work. We thanked Eleanor earlier in the comms team, and there's some challenges, getting enough drivers to get, you know. And Jared's worked very hard, but these are good numbers. Let's see. Let's hope they carry on.
Yep. I've got to say well done to staff. It's been a great effort. Councillor Kempton.
Oh, yeah, just briefly, I think two things. The second is by far the most important. The first one is that we 7% increase in patronage in Dunedin is unprecedented. But one of the things I think that it means that we need to do is that we need to approach discussion with the people in Wakarua and various other people from the point of view of pride. We've actually got a really good system, and of course we can talk to you about fine-tuning it, rather than as we've tended to do, as you know, we think we've got a terrible bloody system, they're just going to beat us up again. And so that to me is a really, really important turning point. We need to go along with a sense of pride, but still with our ears open. Point I'd like to make about Queenstown, we had an integrated transport governance meeting on Friday in Queenstown, and I was really proud of ORC, and I'd have to say of how Gerard was able to, when they said, have you got this covered? Yep, what about that? Got that covered. What about that? Got that covered. And we were right on the front foot, well ahead of some of the other agencies that are involved, given what they've got to do. And I was really bloody pleased to see the position we were in. So thanks to staff, that's great.
Yep. Excellent.
QLDC expressed comfort with how it's rolled out. And there was a fair bit of concern, you know, earlier on.
It was a big change, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a mess. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Excellent. Any other comment? Sorry.
Just if I may, through the chair, while it's humbling that the amount of accolade coming to me, it's very much a team effort, and there have been a lot of staff doing a lot of hours to pull this in.
Well done. Well done, sir. Nothing else? Well, I move this report be received, seconded by Councillor Bell. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against, carried. That is the end of the public part of the meeting. We will go into committee now. I'll move we go into committee for the reasons stated. Seconded by Councillor Noon. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried.